Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hey everybody, upside down kingdom principles. And before we do anything, we want to say a huge welcome to all our guests. So come on, our whole church, everybody, front to back, left to right, everybody put your hands together. Come on, welcome all our guests. We want to say a huge welcome. If you're a guest today, you came on a great day. We're launching a new theme and a new campaign, we call it, and we're one church. So we do this by video, so we're all on the same page, moving together and really hearing what God is saying to us as one church in the city of Sydney. So we're so excited. We had a great conference, and I just believe that God's kingdom is coming to earth, everybody. It already has, but we're seeing it in greater measure. We believe that we're going to see a greater measure of the kingdom of heaven in the city of Sydney than we've ever seen before. I believe that. So we're going to be going through Matthew, the book of Matthew, and we're really going to focus on chapter 5. The cool thing about the book of Matthew, the gospel as written by Matthew, the disciple, we understand that there is actually five collections of sermons in the book of Matthew. It starts with the Sermon on the Mount, which goes from chapter 5 to 7. Then it goes to what we call the missionary discourse, the missionary sermons, chapter 10, the parable sermons in chapter 13, the community discourse sermons, chapter 17 and 18. Then it goes to the apocalyptic, end times discourse, chapter 24 and 25. But like I said, we're going to be focused on chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the series of sermons from Jesus that has 9 statements in it that all begin with the word blessed. Everyone say blessed. God has ways, the world has ways, the difference is God doesn't bless the ways of the world. He blesses the ways of his kingdom. And the Beatitudes are what we're going to be focused on. I want you to catch this. The Beatitudes are not unto salvation. You don't get saved by these Beatitudes. You get saved by what Jesus did on the cross, by grace through faith in him. But the Beatitudes are the principles, are the guiding values. It is the culture of the kingdom. And the culture of the kingdom is not like the culture of the world. It's different. It's upside down. The world says, take. Jesus says, give. The world says, Lord. Jesus says, serve. It's different. It's upside down. And that's what we're going to be talking about as we work our way through the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to break it down, open your Bible, and let's go there together. Matthew 5, 2 to 12, it says this, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, there's that word, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What comes next? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward, is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What an amazing passage of scripture. How you doing, everybody? You're doing good. This is incredible. I'm just so thankful for the kingdom of God. And you know, we've had our conference, we've been preparing the way for the Lord this year, And I just really sense that God's kingdom, the revelation of his kingdom, is growing in our church. It's growing in Sydney. God is bringing a measure of glory that is more than we've ever seen before in the city of Sydney. And I believe it is that people are going to taste and see that God is good. They're going to have a revelation of King Jesus and his kingdom. And we're believing, come on, church, everywhere we are believing for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth. And the Beatitudes actually describes what the kingdom looks like. What we're going to do, we're going to go through the first four Beatitudes this week. Next week, part two, we're going to go through the next five. And so here's what I want you to do. If you haven't got your Bible, grab it out. Grab it out. If you're a guest, we've got big Bible for you on the screen. But I'd love you to take some notes, everybody. Let's, like, even if just you capture one thing that God is saying to you, I'd love you to get out a note. Let's lean into the Word of God together as we unpack this. The first Beatitude in verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit is talking about humility. It's talking about recognizing our need for God. And the Beatitudes start with humility because humility is the bedrock principle, the bedrock value of the kingdom. I like the way Charles Spurgeon puts it. He put it like this: "A ladder, if it is be of any use, must have its first step near to the ground, or feeble climbers will never be able to mount." Humility is the door to the kingdom. It's the door to God's grace. It's when we recognize that we need God. So it says, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." They own it. The humble in heart possess the kingdom. The humble in heart have ownership of the kingdom. They grasp the kingdom. Pride keeps us blind to the king and his kingdom. Humility helps us receive the kingdom. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So grace is attracted to humility. And when you've got that humble heart, you grasp the kingdom. You take hold of it. You receive it. I love Oaks. As you know, my son, Jess and I, he is so, he just loves to grasp things. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be using the blower, doing some great garden maintenance, which I'm really good at. And so I'll be using the blower and I'll be blowing up the leaves. And he just comes and grabs the blower, just like tries to take it out of his own hands. He's got his own. Shout out to Kmart, little blower from Kmart, so good. But he just loves to grasp. I'll be eating my food and he'll just grasp my fork, takes it, has a strong grip, this kid. And you know, those who are humble get a strong grip on the kingdom. It's like the humble, they walk around with weight, with the weightiness of the kingdom. Humility in the kingdom makes you weighty. Not overweight, like weighty spiritually. You possess, you receive the grace, the weight of the kingdom. It's yours, you own it. And that's a beautiful thing about being poor in spirit. Amen. So we're going to verse 4. This is the next Beatitude. It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And mourn here, you know, it does mean for the heart that is mourning, is lost, is broken, has experienced loss. But it's actually also repenting, referring to a repentant heart. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." It's actually referring to a heart that says, "God, I'm so sorry for my sin." You know, like, if you struggle with sin, welcome to church. You're amongst friends. And if you're here today and you're like, "You know, I don't struggle with sin," that is your struggle. That's your sin that you think that you don't. Everybody, The worst scenario is not that you struggle with sin, it's that you've stopped struggling. To struggle with sin is actually not the problem. It's a problem when you've started accepting, tolerating, and justifying sin. You know, like when you start comparing your sin to others, well, my sin's not as bad as their sin, so it's good. I mean, I know what they're doing. So bad. To struggle with sin, to live a life of constant repentance, where you keep coming to God and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry, I've missed the mark again. God, here I am, I missed the mark. To have a life where you have sorrow for the areas that you're missing the mark, that is a bless. God blesses that. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Godly sorrow, where you actually say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm not excusing it. I'm bringing it into the light. I'm in tears about it. I don't think it's good or right. When you've got that posture in your life, God's comfort, God's peace, God's hand comes around those who carry a repentant heart. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we say sorry for our sin, we are recognizing sin is not good, sin is not okay, sin is not God's plan for my life. God has a far higher plan for your life than a life of sin. But it's when I've stopped confessing it and stopped repenting of it, that's the danger. But when you confess, when you repent, when you mourn over your sin, when you're sorry, God's blessing, God's hand, he will guide you. He will comfort you. I love Psalm 23, verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod for correction, staff for connection. We need both. And the truth of God corrects the sin in our life so that we can live free from sin in Jesus' name. So, let's go to the next beatitude. Blessed are the meek, verse 5. For they shall inherit the earth. You know, meek means secure, calm. I like this. It means strength that does not control. Strength, everybody, that does not control. Meekness is the ability to be secure, steadfast, but not feel like you need to defend yourself or control or manipulate. Power that manipulates is not meek. Strength that controls is not meekness. Strength that controls is the way of the world. Meekness is the way of the kingdom. Meekness does not mean weakness. That rhymes. Meekness doesn't mean weakness. Meekness is actually strength that is being controlled. So I'm not controlling people and things. I'm controlling the only person God has given me permission to control is, come on, you know who it is. You know who it is. It's not me. You're not controlling me. I'm called to control myself. God has not given you the spirit of people control. God has not given you the spirit of self-control. Sorry, of he has given you that. Of weather control, of your children control, of your children's teachers. He's not giving you control over them. He's not giving you control over the economy. He's not giving you control over so many things. But you know what? He has given you the Spirit. The Holy Spirit breeds in us and produces in us the spirit of self-control. So meek people are people who are strong but are self-controlled. It is strength that has been harnessed. You don't need to defend yourself. I love this. You know, Jesus is the picture of meekness. He's in the Sanhedrin before the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're yelling at him. They're falsely accusing him. They're falsely charging him. They're mocking him, ridiculing him. They are beating him, slapping him, spitting on him. And he is there in the before the Sanhedrin, before all these religious elites. And they are judging him unfairly. And he's there with all the power in the universe to smite each one of them. He could, you know that, he could have smited each one of them where they stood. Just boom, just Bruce Almighty on them, just smite them. And he could have, but he didn't. What is that? That is meekness. He did not defend himself. He let God be his defender. He entrusted his soul to the Father and said, God will defend me. Meekness is Jesus laying down his life. It's his life being laid down, not taken. John 10:18, no one takes it from me, but I lay down my life of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Meekness is calm, it's confident, and it's secure. It's the posture that has learned to not fear man, but to trust in God. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in the Lord are kept safe. Meekness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hunger, thirst, desire for God. More desire for God than desire for the things of this world. More desire for God's kingdom than the world's kingdom. Hunger, not apathy. And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Everybody, we are not trying to do things like Sydney does it. We love Sydney. We're not trying to do it like the Northern Beaches do it. We're not trying to do it like Sydney culture does it. We love Sydney. But we are of a different culture. And the culture of the kingdom is a culture that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. An environment, a value, a conviction in us that we are here to pursue God. You know, like I love how it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And now it's saying blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You know, humility keeps us behind Jesus. So we're following Jesus. We're not running ahead of him. That's what humility does. Keeps us behind Jesus. Hunger keeps us up with Jesus. It helps you keep up with Jesus. It means you got to stay behind, but don't fall behind. Sometimes we can get behind Jesus and then we can just drift off because we're not pursuing him. We've lost our hunger. I pray in your life, your hunger is so strong that you do wake up in the night with dreams and visions of what God is speaking to you. I do pray that God interrupts your life with prophetic words. I do pray that God is stirring you. I'm not praying that you would be apathetic. I'm not praying that you would be super comfortable. I'm praying that you would be stirred by the Spirit of God, that you would have a roaring lion on the inside of you that is hungry for the kingdom of heaven, that is hungry for the things of God's world. Hunger for God. And that we would be destroying idols everywhere we go. Bringing and tearing down the idols in our life that easily erect themselves above our desire for God. Remember what Tim Keller, we did this in our Idols and Ideologies campaign. Tim Keller wrote this in his book, Counterfeit Gods. Anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give you is an idol. It's an idol. Hunger is when we desire God, desire him more than anything else. And these Beatitudes, we've done the first four. It's part one. Next week, part two. We're going to do the next five. And I want you to want you to get this in your spirit. God's ways, God has ways. His kingdom has ways. The world has ways. They do things, the world does things a certain way. The difference is God's blessing is not on the ways of this world. God's blessing is on the ways of his kingdom. And there is no force in hell or on earth that can stop the blessing of God. When God says, this is blessed, you better know, it is blessed. Nothing can stop the blessing. When God has chosen to bless, to favor something or someone, you can't stop it. And his kingdom in our lives will be unstoppable when we align our hearts and spirits to the values, the principles, and the ways of his kingdom. And I'm praying that this would be in your business. Parents, I'm praying this would be in how you parent your children, in our friendships, in our marriages, in our workplace, with our colleagues, with our boss. Let the principles of the kingdom be what is most evident in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen, everybody. Come on, everyone, say a big amen. Come on, a big hearty amen. Amen. Church, we love you. I'm going to hand over to the team now, and we will see you soon. It is going to be a great few weeks as we continue unpacking upside down kingdom principles. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.